Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. I'm your host, Marie Langley, and Beth is not able to join us this evening, so you can catch her next week. Our show, as you know, is a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality. And we are on Tuesday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We do alternate our reading shows with guests. And so you can catch us live at that time. And otherwise, you can go to the Blog Talk page. Just search for Divine Goddess Radio and click on any of our archive shows if you're looking for any information or just want to check us out and see who we are. If you'd like to contact us for any questions, suggestions, appointments, you can reach us at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. Beth and I do individual readings. We do corporate readings. We do group readings. We will do goddess parties. So if you're interested in any of those, you can call myself at 651-303-0555 or Beth, 651-900-4136. And we also have a website, divinegoddessradio.com. And then don't forget our Facebook page, Divine Goddess Radio. If you like our page, we do pick one of our likers every month for a free reading. So if you would like to go in and like us, we'd appreciate it. I do try to put as many pieces of information as I can, and obviously about our shows as well. So anyway, tonight, thank you for joining us this evening. We have a fabulous guest. Her name is Deb Lloyd. And Deb Lloyd is a, Usai and Karuna Reiki master and also a certified holistic therapy practitioner. And she's going to talk to us, this evening about healing with Reiki. So welcome, Deb.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. This is my first show that is based from Minneapolis, and that's just very exciting. I got to meet your city. I have had one trip to your city, and we had a ball. That Mall of America is fantastic.
Yes, it is. Yep, that's a big draw.
I relate because I'm originally from Indiana, so I kind of consider all of that Midwestern, and now I live in Asheville, North Carolina, but there's just something great about Midwestern people, just saying.
Well, we're just so friendly, you know, here in the middle part of the United States. So, and I'm really excited that you're on with us this evening. Do you want to let our listeners know a little bit about yourself and what your background is?
Sure. So I was born in Indiana, and people will figure this out pretty quickly, but I am in my early 60s, and when I was 3 years old, was just getting towards the end of the polio epidemic. I actually had two vaccines and did get polio as a child. And quite honestly, I did pretty well. It affected both my legs, so my legs are weaker, and I walk with a very pronounced limp. But all in all, I did very well in life. I got married. I have two children who are now adults. And I have to throw in, I have three grandchildren now. So all of that is, yes. So all of that's really great. But things really did start to change for me in the 1990s, where I was really facing chronic fatigue. And even though I had worked with people professionally with chronic fatigue, I am a social worker, you really don't know what it's like until you experience it. There were nights I would come home from work and I literally would just get changed and lay down on the sofa and say to my husband, it's yours. I didn't even get up to eat at the dining room table for dinner. He would bring me a plate. So then it came out that a lot of people with polio were having lots of symptoms, and they named it post-polio syndrome. So I did find a doctor actually in Michigan who was pretty much an expert on it, and he put me on a little medication, and it helped a little bit. So the other thing that he did talk to me about was quit being a type A personality, which is really hard, and to let the kids, at that point, my kids were in high school and grade school, to have them do more, you know, let them take on some of the household duties, and when you just started feeling tired, to really stop. Mm-hmm. So I took up that advice, and again, got just a wee bit better, but I was still really experiencing chronic fatigue. Then I met someone who had just become a Reiki master, and I remember the first time she said that to me, and my first thought was, what is that? And then when she explained it, my next thought was, that sounds really woo-woo to me. I don't think I can do that. I was raised very traditionally and really had raised my children quite traditionally. We lived in a very traditional two-story colonial type house. And traditional religion, too. I might put that in there. But after a while, I just said, what do I have to lose? I will go to a session. And truly, within that very first hour, I started to feel really almost all of the fatigue leave my body. So I went to a second session, again, felt much, much better, and it was lasting in between sessions, too.
Oh.
And so my husband, who just could not believe the difference in me, I said, you have to go, you have to go. So he experienced a session, and then the Reiki master said to him, gee, you two ought to come for training because you could help Deb with this. And my husband, who's a wonderful person, always wanted to help me but didn't know how. Well, this was something he could do. So we went to our first training in June of 2001, did Reiki 2 that fall. I became a master really about 4 or 5 years later. But from that very beginning, I use Reiki on myself every day. Continue to use Reiki on myself
every
day. And what I get from people, I mean, first of all, everyone thinks, I'm just so energetic. People at work will be saying, we don't understand how you work full-time. You do things like this, radio shows. I teach Reiki on the side. I do Reiki sessions. And I've written a book, and I'm marketing that. So they're just like, how do you do it? And truly, the energy almost feels as if it's not limited, or it's just totally unlimited. So mm-hmm. I know it's the Reiki. I know it's being connected to that universal life force energy. And that's what Reiki does.
Okay. Wow. You know, first of all, props to your husband.
Yeah.
Who didn't go, what? What is she talking about? That is so weird. He just said, I'm going to do this. I think that's fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. And at that point in time, he was an engineer, which is really very logical thinking and all. Right. But he was so blown away by the difference in me. I think he was just so curious. But I have to add, the end of the story on that, after he learned Reiki, he decided, after our children were raised and all, he's now a massage therapist.
Is he? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That's great. And does he integrate a little Reiki then when he does his massage as well?
Yes. He lets everyone know that he's a Reiki master. And so he can do it one of two ways. He can do the Reiki during the massage. Some people want like a regular massage and have 10 or 15 minutes of Reiki after. Or some people will say, no, I just want a massage, and that's fine too. But I'll tell you what, having Reiki with a massage is the ultimate. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, you come out feeling like Jell-O when you're done.
Yes. Because it's all energy. And the other thing that it does, if you really have some really sore muscles, you know, they really worked on that, and then getting Reiki after that, it actually starts healing the muscle right away. So any discomfort, and I really don't want to use the word pain, but any achiness or anything like that, the Reiki can just take that away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just wonderful. Mm-hmm.
That is great. So now, if in case we have any, you know, people who are just starting their path and are not familiar with Reiki, can you explain exactly what Reiki is?
Yes. Reiki is an energy healing modality, which really means when you become trained in Reiki, you learn how to channel, really how to connect to the universal life force, which you can use that term. You can use the term universe. You can use the higher being. You can mm-hmm. use the word God, but I really do believe it comes from a spiritual place. So it's not a religion. You don't have to, you know, ascribe to any particular religious beliefs. You can be agnostic and use Reiki. But I think most people do realize there's another whole energy field out there. So it comes through you and goes through your hands, so that when I do Reiki for myself, often I just put my hands on my legs. And usually I feel a really strong warmth. And many times now, my legs had such a lack of energy in it. They love Reiki. They just soak it up. Often my legs will start to vibrate because the energy is just pouring in. And that's still happening 13 years later. But I look at it the other way, that, you know, these poor legs went 40 to 50 years without getting that kind of energy. So we've got some years to make up for it.
Yeah.
So there are actual hand positions that, so if you went in for a Reiki session, generally most people have a massage table, you stay fully clothed, and they just place their hands in particular areas of your body. And we do work with the chakras, which are the seven main energy centers in the body. And once a Reiki practitioner really works a lot with Reiki, they usually get really strong feelings. Like I get feelings, areas where the energy's low or depleted or blocked.
Uh-huh.
And the Reiki will help. That energy will help to just break up the blockage or add energy to a particular area.
Okay. How long does a session usually last?
If a person comes in for a full session, a full body session, we generally do an hour. But, you know, I've been at gatherings, at work. I can do 5 or 10 minutes of Reiki, and it's helpful. For myself, I do not do whole body sessions. You know, I do 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. I often, when I wake up in the morning, I generally wake up 15 minutes to half an hour before the alarm. I will do Reiki that entire time. It's very calming and very relaxing. So it's a wonderful thing to use before you go to sleep also. And I think it helps you to remember your dreams and have lovely dreams too.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a tuck it back in the thought process there, because, you know, if someone is looking, you know, a lot of people like to get their messages through dreams, and if sometimes they can't because they're so wound up during the day, that would actually be a nice technique that someone could learn how to use on themselves, you know, to relax enough to allow those messages to come in.
Absolutely. And one of the things about Reiki, we believe it heals physically, emotionally or mentally, and spiritually. So each of the chakras do have functions associated with it, and all of them have physical, emotional, and spiritual. I'll be honest, most people start off with Reiki. They come in for a physical reason. I did it myself. So,
right.
They don't come in for spiritual growth, but that can be definitely an added benefit. And that definitely happened to me. One of the things that really came up was I thought I had really dealt with all my emotional issues fairly well, and I had, but Reiki helped me to go much, much deeper and brought up old things, really deep-seated emotions that I had either shoved away or just decided I was doing well enough. So that, you know, but to me it was a strong emotional healing too.
Wow. Now, do you use crystals during your session?
There's been times, one of the things that has happened over the years as I've worked with clients is I really started to become much more intuitive. And then in my own personal life, I went to a shamanic intuitive healer. Well, that started coming into my Reiki work. In other words, I started seeing guides and getting messages for people and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry, I just forgot the question.
Oh, crystals.
Crystals, thank you. Many times, and this fits in, I did some study on, the certification for the holistic therapy. Crystals was one of the things I studied. Colors was one of the things that I studied. So sometimes I will get messages for people, let's say the throat chakra. Unfortunately, that is one of the chakras that I often feel low energy for people, especially women, that if they wore more turquoise or bring blue in around their neck, all of those things have energies. So even the crystals can get matched up with the chakras, if you will. So if there's an area that could use some extra energy, that could use a boost, to find the crystal that's associated with that area or with that chakra can be very, very beneficial.
Okay, okay. And you had mentioned, too, you know, that Reiki is one form of healing modality.
Mm-hmm.
What other healing modalities are there?
Oh, there's just so many. We've already just touched upon two of them, crystals, because they have energies within them, colors. I love color therapy. And I've become much more mindful in my own life, what clothes I wear, how I'm decorating my home, if things are feeling like we need to add some groundedness or we need to get rooted or I'm feeling insecure about money or something, I'll bring red into my life or I'll bring that fiery element. Some other modalities would be aromatherapy. The list is just endless. And then there's other kind of hands-on healing. Healing touch, therapeutic touch are very, very similar to Reiki. But I just look at it, if you really broaden it, it's really anything that you can use to bring positive energy into your life. And the more you learn about energy, then you can really drill down to what it is that you actually need.
Okay. Okay. So how do these, like Reiki in particular, how does it affect people with chronic or terminal diseases? I know it really helped you, with your legs from polio, but how could, like say you've got someone that's really chronically or terminally ill, how does that help them?
Yes. Well, it helps on many ways. For many of those folks that have a chronic and terminal illness, our thoughts and our beliefs get so tied in with our physical manifestations. But first of all, I want to go back to the relaxation and the calming, because we can deal with all those problems in our lives much better when we come from a calmer and more accepting place. And often we respond to things in our life from a place of anxiety or, worse yet, a place of fear. So if we can approach everything more from a place of acceptance, we will be able to deal with those things better. But certainly any physical manifestations that a person might have, like pain, anxiety, discomfort, a lot of times people say, well, I really don't have pain, but I just don't feel right. I just feel uncomfortable. And it's even hard for them to put their fingers on exactly what it is. Reiki can be very helpful. I would say for someone that has a terminal illness, finding peace of mind can be very, very difficult. And Reiki can take us to that place. And, if you really get into the practice of it and really want to heal, you will get direction. You will have thoughts that will tell you this is what you need to do. And I'm going to give an example of that.
Yeah, please.
Say that you're estranged from someone and you really would like to connect with that son that you haven't talked to for 15 years, but you don't know where to begin. I truly believe if you connect with that universe, that energy really wants us all to heal, that you will get direction on how to do that, whether you need to make that phone call, whether you should send a letter. And it may be an inspirational thought, but it might be that when a friend comes in and you start talking to the friend about it, they tell you what to do. Of course, you always have a choice, but they make suggestions of what might work. And if you come from that place of acceptance and you're not fearful, then you'll do it. Mm-hmm. So I believe in spiritual guidance. I believe if we become open to it, the right person, the right book, the right thought will be given to you.
Sure. Yep. I agree as well.
Yes.
It's interesting that you brought up a relationship versus someone who's ill or, you know, suffering from some disease or maybe just, you know, maybe they've, I don't know, hurt their leg and they're in pain or whatever. But the relationship part of it, too, I think is interesting because I think people may not connect that something like Reiki could help them, you know, if they're having an issue with a family member or whatever, with dealing with that, helping, I guess, to bring in some confidence or to ease yourself to allow you to go to that next step.
Yes, absolutely. And that's one thing, you know, there was always an old saying that, I guess it's not that old, if you want to change a relationship, we often focus on what the other person needs to do, and we rarely focus on what can I do to make a change in this relationship. And whenever you make that little shift, the energy changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times the more we can really frame things around energy and we really think about it, we know that's true. We know there's wisdom in that. So let me see if I can think of another example. Well, have you ever walked into a room where there's 20 people and the tension is so thick you could cut it with a knife?
Yes.
If you start sending without saying a word, positive thoughts, positive energy to that whole situation, it will change.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that kind of power.
I agree. I truly believe that, yes.
Yes. So if you look at it that way, Reiki just is really one tool to help us bring that kind of change. I'm a total believer, you know, so much is going on in our world today. We really can help to make a difference right here, right now, by sending positive energy to it. Now, of course, mm-hmm. some people can block off from it, but I actually believe if we all did that, wars would be gone.
I hear you. Loud and clear.
I'm preaching to the choir.
No, it's that old, again, another old saying, love makes the world go round, you know, and if just one person in every community, even just in one community, can just send out those vibes of positive energy so that you start shifting everybody, your neighbor, everybody, how things could turn, you know?
Yes. I was really taken by, have you heard of Dr. Emoto and the water?
No.
Okay. He's a Japanese doctor who started doing studies about, he would put in like the dirty water, and what I mean by that is polluted, toxic water, put it in a jar, put the, just write on a piece of paper the word love, tape up the jar. He has microscopic pictures of this. So he would take a microscopic picture of a droplet of water, put it in a jar, write the word love on it, check it 3 days later, and it had healed.
Wow.
That blows me away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
The water. Yes.
Every polluted river in this country, in the world?
I know. And so one of the things my husband and I started doing was Reiki-ing our water before we drink our water. And how healing is that? It goes right into our body. Water's, of course, very essential for our system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one cool thing about Reiki. There are no limits. And the other good news is I haven't had a houseplant die since I've had Reiki. And I used to have quite a problem with that. So Reiki works with all living things. And so does positive energy and positive thoughts. So if you think a positive thought, then energy healing is really limitless. There's some unlimited potential here that we have.
Right, right. So how do you, okay, so if somebody's looking, you know, to get some good energy healing, how do they decide which modality to pursue?
Well, I think we ask for guidance. And I do believe we do need to be discerning. There can be some people out there, unfortunately, just like every other field or every other profession, that may not be coming from really strong intentions or really good intentions. So mm-hmm. I think we all have the ability to be discerning.
Mm-hmm.
And in my healing journey, I did see a number of different people. I did work, like I mentioned before, the shamanic intuitive healer. I actually worked with, I had a few sessions with a psychic medium, which helped me in dealing with my father's death. And he had died very young, and I was young too. Mm-hmm. And I did this years later. But I just was open, and I just kind of intuitively knew this would be a good thing for me to do right now. I was led to books. So I'm a big believer, if you hear about a book or you hear about a program more than once, really mm-hmm. look into it.
Yeah.
Because it's probably spirit giving you a nudge. This would be really good for you right now. So I believe if we set an intention that I really do want to heal whatever it is, physical, a relationship, whatever, that we will be given guidance on what's good for us. And then listen to your gut. You know, all of us have so many instances. We really sat down and thought about it when we did not listen to our gut, and, you know, someone persuaded us to do something or talked us into something, and part of us was going, I don't think so, but we did it anyways.
Yep.
If we listen to our gut on doing the good things and the right things for us, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And go and investigate. You know, there's been different courses that I've taken that I've just gone on everyone's website, and one will just speak to me. It just resonates. And when that happens, I'll say, I know that's the one I'm supposed to go to. We all have that ability if we
listen. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I think when, you know, especially when people are really starting to wake, you know, starting the awakening process right now, and it's just, it's validation, you know, because Beth and I have talked about it so many times on our show, you know, pay attention to the signs, pay attention to mm-hmm. what's around you. And, you know, you're another validation for anybody listening that, you know, spirit will come to you. You just have to pay attention.
Yes.
So.
And synchronicities. You know, that's when two or three things happen at the same time that should not happen.
Yeah.
I've had some amazing ones, as everyone has had. But I actually journal on those, and I will mm-hmm. journal about what exactly was going on at that time. What was I upset about? What is spirit trying to do? Because a great synchronicity, nothing gets your attention more.
Absolutely. And I'm assuming, like, when you first, you know, got introduced to Reiki, you must have had a lot of a spiritual process going on that kind of directed you through that, right?
Yes, absolutely. I was raised in a very traditional faith, and I have not given it up, so to speak, but I've definitely expanded my belief system around it. In my faith, angels is something I've always believed in. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that the angels will guide us and will protect us. That's the other mm-hmm. thing. Let me just mention this. With Reiki training, mm-hmm. you actually give protection. And one of the things that I am now using to kind of judge other, I won't say judge, to determine if another practitioner is the right one for me, is to ask, do you, quote, take on the energies of the person you're working with? Mm-hmm. A good energy healer really should not be. They can recognize it. They can help that person. But if they take on the emotions of that person, I believe they can lose some of their effectiveness. And if you're really working with the right intention, spirit will protect you. You know, people ask me all the time, because in my real job I do hospice work, how do I not pick up the grief?
Sure.
I work with people very well. I feel lots of compassion. I feel lots of empathy, but I do not become a griever, and there's a real difference. If I really took it on, I could not do this job, and I could not
sure.
be a...
Yeah, because that's some very heavy-duty emotions when you're
yes.
working in a hospice, you know?
Yes, yeah. It really is, but all of us live with that kind of emotion around us. We're just not as aware of it.
Right.
I mean, there's so much tension and strife in our world.
Yes.
Like I said, you can walk in that room where the tension you can cut with a knife. And there was a period of time where I did take on lots more of that type of energy and become a part of it rather than help people to move out of that, if that
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense. And one thing I wanted to expand a little bit more on, you had talked about, you know, how our thoughts and beliefs come into play. Now, how can that affect your ability to heal?
Well, I believe every single thought we have produces an energy, and the beliefs we have produce an energy. In fact, I think that's what causes a lot of our energetic blocks that we have. So let me think about someone who maybe feels like they don't have a lot of power, and I don't mean that in a greed way, but their authentic
sure.
self type of power. Mm-hmm. And where that does reside is right above the navel. That's where that chakra energy center is.
Okay.
So if they have thoughts like that, a lot of things can happen in that area physically. GI problems, even cancers, I hate to say, but just a distressed stomach. And I can even picture myself when I got really upset as a little girl, I would put my arms across my stomach and bend over. Many uh-huh. of us do that. And that's where we're feeling that energy is really being unsettled, or, you know, we get our upset stomachs and that type of thing. It is our thoughts that are causing that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we also have a stomach bug, that might be a different thing. But I do think we can invite those stomach bugs in if our energies are really low. You know, why does one person get the flu and not the other, or upset stomach? So our thoughts are so tied in with our energy centers, and let's do it the opposite way. So a person who feels strong in their authentic self and they feel they have a lot of integrity often
mm-hmm.
do not get those kinds of stomach ailments.
Mm-hmm. I see.
It's all connected. This is really understanding the mind-body-spirit connection.
Yeah.
Because it's real.
Yeah, for sure. I'm listening to you kind of crying, and I'm going, yeah, maybe she needs to go put a turquoise shirt on.
I know. I was kind of thinking that, too. What's this about? But I have to say, I'm not an air conditioning person. I have a window open wide. I think it's actually a little bit of allergy that came in through the window.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so going back to now, you said you worked in hospice.
Mm-hmm.
So do you work with patients that are in transition, and do you use Reiki on those patients?
Unfortunately,
oh.
as a staff person, I do not use Reiki. But the good news is we have volunteers that do. And it's all about regulations and what is in the scope of a practice of a social worker and that type of thing. So we use volunteers. But the second thing is we are looking at it to see if there's some way we can bring in more of an integrated medicine to our patients. So it's available, but it's another person coming into the home or into our inpatient center. Mm-hmm. I can say, all in all, hospice folks are really open to this because we see so much and hear so many stories.
Mm-hmm.
It is not unusual at all. In fact, it's very common as patients are getting close to transitioning where they see spirits, they see mm-hmm. angels, they see deceased loved ones. And mm-hmm. many times I'll have people say, you'll probably think I'm crazy, but my mother came to me last night. Now, this person may be 95 years old and, you know, was their mother who died 30 years ago came through. And I always say, oh, no, we believe those things are possible. And mm-hmm. they light up because someone
yeah,
believes
I'm
them.
Sure.
But we hear those stories all the time.
Yeah.
And none of
yeah.
us doubt it. You know, I think the other thing that we see is how many patients in their last couple of days, last hours, I mean, the vast majority are very, very peaceful.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure family members see a huge difference also, you know, in their loved ones and how, because you always want to make sure, obviously, that your loved ones are relaxed and peaceful and not
yeah.
in distress or, you know, worried or anxious. And if Reiki can help them, I mean, that's fantastic.
Yes. And it's just a number of things, you know. We work with people. One of the questions we social workers asked is, do you have, we call it unfinished business. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you need to do? And it can be everything really concrete. You know, I still haven't written my will to, you know, how's my wife going to live without me financially? All the way through to there is one bit of work I still need to do or I need to forgive someone. That's
mm-hmm.
a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
Where they know that there's someone that they've been holding a grudge against for maybe decades.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's us that help. Sometimes it's a chaplain or their minister. But, you know, everyone intuitively knows what it is they need to do yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with that statement. I think you know when you're close and whatever needs
yeah.
to be done comes out. So,
yes.
Do you think that all people need healing?
I think because we're human beings, there is always something
yes.
left to heal. And it can be minor, you know, it doesn't have to be big. But I do think there's always something that we're working on. And we have the choice. We have the choice on whether or not we want to take the energy and the effort and the intention to fix that thing, whatever it is. So I really do think, yes, every human being still has work to do.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I think so. Otherwise, we'd be in a perfect world, wouldn't we?
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? But it's not here on Earth. With human
yep.
beings that we all, you know, we can have the best of intentions and inadvertently hurt someone or slight someone, and we don't even know that we're doing it. So there's always
sure.
something that all of us can do.
Exactly. I'm going to let the listeners know, if you would like to call in and ask to have a question, you know, feel free to do so. The call-in number is 347-327-9360. And I was going to ask you, you know, if someone is looking to learn Reiki, how would you suggest that they determine which Reiki teacher is good for them?
And that's an excellent question because we do believe the right student gets to the right teacher. So I would do a couple of things. I think it is not a bad idea to actually go have a Reiki session with someone that you think you might like to have as a teacher. There are some excellent websites now. In fact, we do teach the Usui Reiki, which you mentioned, through William Lee Rand. And his website has a directory, but there's other Reiki websites if you don't know anyone. Word of mouth is excellent. But I have had people come to me who said, well, I have to say in Asheville there are many Reiki masters, They will go to the websites, they'll make phone calls, and they'll say, you're the one I was supposed to go to. And that's lovely because I know across town another Reiki master is being told the same thing at the same time, and that's fine.
Okay.
So I do believe if we ask for guidance, we get to the right one.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, because I know there might be people going, I'd like to learn more about that, but who do I go to?
Yeah. And actually, I'm going to brag on William Lee Rand's website. It's reiki.org.
Okay.
He has 300 to 400 articles on this website that different Reiki people have written and sent in, and they approve them. He also has a magazine. but these articles can be anything from about Reiki with someone who's pregnant, Reiki with children. I mean, it's everything. Bringing real peace through Reiki. And sometimes I'll just go to the website and read 3 or 4 articles because they're so interesting. So
okay.
There's a lot out there nowadays. He's actually doing research, too. So there's some good studies, which is another website, but it's linked in to his.
Okay, so it's reiki.org?
Yep, reiki.org.
That's easy. Okay. Now,
yeah.
Usui and Karuna,
yeah.
Are those two types of Reiki?
Usui is from Dr. Usui, who was the Japanese metaphysical type person. We do call him doctor, but he wasn't a medical doctor. He was more of a, I guess, what we would call a PhD. He studied many different things. But the Reiki energy was downloaded to him in the early 1920s. It did not really get over to the United States until more the 1970s and 1980s, and part of that, I have to say, was historical with World War II and Japanese and the relationship between that and here. So that's Dr. Usui, and I can actually, as can all of us that learn in this lineage, can trace ourselves back to Dr. Usui. So William Lee Rand is really, he became attuned to Reiki in the late 80s, and he made it very accessible and affordable to people in the United States. So he is really one of the front runners in the United States of bringing it to this country. He is still living. He's still teaching. He's doing great work. He's actually located in Michigan.
Okay.
So people, yeah, might even want to drive over to Michigan and have a lovely
Absolutely.
Road. I've never been there myself. Maybe someday I'll make it. So anyways, that's Usui. And then Karuna, you have to be an Usui Reiki master to become a Karuna Reiki master. And it was really developed by William Lee Rand and his staff. He really started to get the messages. There's another level of Reiki available to people. And through a lot of discernment and spiritual guidance, they came up with this additional system. And what I can say is once I became attuned to that, I could actually feel how much stronger the Reiki energy was that was coming through me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you do like 2 levels with each?
Well, the regular Reiki, the Usui Reiki, is actually 3 levels, but you can split the 3rd level into 2 parts, if you will. So we recommend that people at least go to Reiki 1 and Reiki 2 for their own personal use and using it among family and friends. And even you can be a Reiki practitioner at level 2. Level 3 is really for people who want to be a Reiki master, which means attuning others.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
You don't even have to open up a business to do it, but if you feel that's what you're supposed to be doing, again, it can just be among family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say most people go to Reiki 2, and at that point, either kind of sit there for a while and really live with it and practice it. And I did that myself. I always thought I would probably become a master, but I did not feel called to do so for about 4 and a half years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, after I started using. I became a master January of 06, and I had learned the other ones in 01. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just, I mean, like in your experience, it was just basically you did what you had to do for a while, and then you felt the calling
mm-hmm.
after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Huh.
Because for me, Reiki's kind of a ministry. I really feel it is what I'm called to do. And so that's what I'm doing. And for me, the connection to the spiritual world has just grown in leaps and bounds, even though I was a person of faith before.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very real now.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's important for some people to hear because, you know, people might be kind of put off or they might be hesitant because they may have the calling themselves. But, you know, when you grow up and you go through your whatever religious doctrine and it's ingrained in you and you don't want to feel like, oh, God, I don't know if this is something wrong, you know. But I think as you open yourself up more and more and more, it just comes flooding in, all of your gifts and abilities.
I could not agree more. I just so totally agree with that. And, you know, I just think, I don't want to be negative about religions because I think the religions do serve a purpose. And for many people, it does open us up to that reality. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, sometimes they get a little bit too structured and a little bit regulated to the point that maybe we're not as open as what we could be or should be. And so I don't say they're harmful. In fact, if you really get to the roots of all the major religions, really what's underneath it all is love and compassion.
Exactly. It's all the same message packaged in different ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, you've shared your story. How do you think, you know, it would help others who are listening?
Well, it's been really, it's been just such a great journey. in the fact that as I've shared this with others, it's not about my story. It's the story of everyone. It's the story of we all are dealing with something. We all have opportunities to heal. In fact, I truly believe the universe wants us to heal. As each one of us heals, there is really a ripple effect of our energy. I hope my story is really relatable to people and that they can take my story and go, well, I didn't have polio, which I say, thank goodness you didn't have polio. But, you know, we're all dealing with something. We all have some kind of hurts or some kind of emotional wound, you know, and it could be, I don't even want to say as light as criticism because criticism can be very damaging, but it can be more of an emotional type thing where we feel separate from other people or we feel different than other people. We feel alone in our world. All of those things are things that can be healed when you connect to that universal energy.
Absolutely. And, you know, especially like today, like here in the Twin Cities area, most of the schools have started today. And I just think, gosh, if all the moms could learn Reiki so that they could help their kids to deal with whatever, you know, it's tough being a kid these days in school, and just to help them.
It sure is.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
it sure is. And, you know, and so much of what we carry really goes back to those days, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, bullying is such a, you know, big thing right now. And gosh, if you could take that bully and just Reiki that child and say, we're going to turn you around to love, you know.
And absolutely. And what's going on with that child, the bully, probably he has been criticized or he's full of fear. And that's what we have to really get to is that person is acting that way for a reason.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the more that we can become aware of where other people are coming from or what they might be dealing with, we really see underneath we're all the same. We're all connected.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I don't know if you watched that show Touch that was on last year. It was a show all about how we're all connected through the world by one person's action can affect someone around the other world. And of course they took it off because it was a fabulous show. But it was a reminder of, you know, we all have a line connecting each other through the whole world. And what we do on this side of the world can affect another person on the other side. So,
We're all connected by energetic cords once we come into someone's life. And I love that visualization of a cord, because the cord can be all kinds of different things. It can be a strong and, you know, positive cord. It can be a really bad prayed cord. But we are connected that way. And I'm sorry I missed that show. I'm going to have to look for it on Netflix.
Look for it. It's never happened. Yeah, they never finished it. So it's like, okay, I have all these questions. How does this show end?
No. I don't like when they do that.
So you have also written a book, correct?
Yes.
Would you like to
actually,
tell us about it?
Yeah. So this really did come out of my healing journey, that I know a lot of people say this, but in my case it's really true, where I was told I needed to journal. I'm quite the journaler. I like to write about what's going on, and so many things come out for me when I just let it go and let the thoughts come in. So I was told to start keeping a journal of my progress and the issues that I was dealing with, and that someday it would become a book. So I followed what Spirit told me through this worker, through this healer, and did it. And amazingly enough, I found a publisher within 6 months after I completed the book, which is pretty unusual for a new author. But I just had it in my heart. This was so meant to be, and I just totally believed in it. I actually set Reiki to the process. In Reiki 2, you learn how to, quote, send Reiki, which to me is like a form of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So when I would send off the manuscript, I would send it off with Reiki, and I just kept saying, whatever's meant to be, whatever's supposed to pick it up. And the company that picked it up was John Hunt Publishing, which is primarily Mind, Body, Spirit book company. And I found them through some of the books that I owned, the same genre. So it came out. The title is Believe and It Is True, A Story of Healing and Life Lessons. And it's been out now for 2 years, both paperback, ebook. But this company's wonderful. They get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powell's, and Books A Million on all those websites. And so it's available. And that is how I do know my story has helped people, between reviews and people just contacting me, that will let me know what – and it's always interesting because it will be like one section that really spoke to them, which is my experience with books too. You know, I can read lovely books, but there will be one chapter, sometimes even one sentence, it'll just be like, this is it. This is why I read that book. It's for that one sentence, because it really helped me in some way.
Yep. Those are usually the books that fall out of the shelf and hit you on the head, and you're like, what was that about? And then you pick
up
the book, either look
you
at the
too,
title.
Right?
And you're like, oh, I needed that sentence or that title or something, you know, that. Yeah, that's how Spirit works.
That is how Spirit works, yes.
Yeah. Now, you see people, Beth and I are always saying, journal, 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 and you see what can come out of it when you pay attention to what your messages are. So she has a fabulous book because of it.
Yeah.
So what is your most important message for the listeners?
I think the number one message is healing is possible for everyone, and I'm going to add to that at any time in your life. You can be, in fact, this is really interesting. One of my Reiki classes, we had the youngest person we've ever had, and I say we because my husband helps a lot, the youngest person we've ever had and the oldest person was in the same class.
Oh.
And And we all just loved it. The youngest person was a junior in high school, and the oldest person happened to be a retired massage therapist who still was learning. And the rest of the people in that class, they didn't know which one they were most blown away by, the younger one or the older woman, because they said, how great is this? And of course, we all felt a little bit, I won't say envious in a bad way, but like this young woman who was in high school was so enlightened and so awake. She was beyond herself with excitement that she learned Reiki.
Wow.
And then this other woman who hadn't stopped learning but had been retired for some time. They were such great role models for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the most important message, it can happen at any age. So age
yeah.
is not a determining factor. You know, we could be at different places and have different understandings at different ages, but if we're open,
mm-hmm.
boy, you know, the messages will come and the guidance.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Gosh. That, you know, and that's true because I think, you know, I think we all, I mean, on my own path, you know, I've been aware of it all my life, but I haven't acted on it until a certain point in my life because I was finally ready. I didn't have all the other, you know, human obligations
yes.
that were in front of me first. Mm-hmm. And now, and then when those were done, all of a sudden, whoosh, you know, it came rushing in.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't matter what age. You can always be open to it.
Absolutely. And the more open we are, the more it will come in. So I just think that's, you know, what you just said is just so true that on some level we always knew that, you know, I look back and I read some books that were pretty far out, like in the late 80s, early 90s, and they were kind of tucked in the back of my brain somewhere, you know,
yeah.
Like some books on reincarnation, which is actually against my religion, that
mm-hmm.
belief. But they fascinated me, and I just thought, you know, there's more here. Maybe someday I can delve into that a little bit more. But it was kind of put on hold because of the family obligations and whatnot. So,
yeah I was looking at my bookcase probably a couple years ago, and I was going through my books, and I busted out laughing because I have a whole bookcase full of books, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know I had this book. I didn't know I had this book. Oh, my God, I got this book. It was all different spirituality things, and I'm like, you know, I've been collecting them all along, just waiting for the time.
Yes.
So,
I love that,
yep.
but it's so true. And then the other side of that is some of those books I read, and then when I revisit them now, remember
mm-hmm.
I said some of those seemed really far out? I
mm-hmm.
reread them now and go, well, yeah.
Exactly.
It wasn't far out at all.
Yeah. Sometimes you're going, well, duh, I already knew that.
But the first time I read it, I was like, really, you think?
Oh, well, Deb, this has been a fantastic show. Thank you so much for being our guest. Real quickly, do you have a website if people want to look you up?
I do. It is Deb Lloyd Healing. So the Lloyd is the Welsh way, L-L-O-Y-D. So it's D-E-B-L-L-O-Y-D healing.com. So, and I invite people, my email address is on that. If people just want to send some emails back and forth, I love doing that. I've actually helped people find Reiki teachers in their own area or give them ideas. And
okay.
I just love to communicate with people. So you can just email me and tell me your experience of Reiki or anything else. That's fine.
Awesome. All right. Well, again, thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, have a fantastic evening. I send you love and light, and we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.